the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
General Quarters, all hands on your battle stations.
Be nervous about your toes. I'll do the mastermind around here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Bam, check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time. Join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You've got it, got it.
From sea to sea, planet to planet, and star to shining star, from out of the night and into the light, from the pyramids of Giza to the pyramids on Mars, from our ancient interdiluvian past to the far-flung reaches of the distant future, from ancient Atlantis, Lemuria, to these United States of America. Your frequency is ascending. Strange universe. What's up, everybody? Just doing a, just running through it real fast here. Sean is here, so I'm just kind of starting the show for him more formally. And he will be with us hopefully by the bottom of the hour. He's running late, but he gave me a call and warned me of such nuisances. So for the moment, you've got good old me, even Stevie Steve Travesty, to run the helm. How's it going, everybody? So, welcome to Monday. Gosh, I hate Mondays. Thank you, Garfield. Yeah, I had quite the long and interesting weekend. So, I unfortunately don't have any stories from Nighthawk's birthday because I was not able to go. The money for the travel expense was not there, for the camp out expense is just not there for me. And then my band also had a gig that weekend come up anyway. You know, so that's the situation that I'm in, sad to say. I was listening in on the last hour of Deacon John's show, and so I heard Hawk up there, and I'm so glad that Hawk had a good time and that the party was a tremendous success. You know, to the point, you know, where, you know, the government went out of their way to say something nice to Hawk. Oh gosh, thanks for making this place cleaner. You know, it's just like, yeah. You know, you hating all us preppers and, you know, organic people and whatnot. And, you know, because we go against your lovely Monsanto interests. And yet we do the thing all your stupid Green Party socialists bitch and complain about. We actually do it as opposed to praying for somebody else to do it and thinking taxes will solve that problem. So thanks. But anyway, so here we are on Monday, July 28th, 6 p.m. on the East Coast. I think it's about 3 on the West Coast when Sean makes his way in. So where are we at today? You know, we had a globally we had an interesting weekend of Gaza getting lit the F up. You know, while pretending that they were trying to not get lit the F up. And speaking of getting lit the F up, here's Nighthawk. What's up, Hawk?
What's up, man? Hey, listen, man, you know, Eric and Samantha offered you to ride in free of charge, free of food and everywhere, and they said you didn't want to go. I'm a little confused by your earlier statement.
Oh, they said I didn't want to go?
Well, yeah, they were right there in New Jersey.
You know, I wasn't going to be the guy. Look, I didn't want to make a big stink about me not, you know, being able to go. You know, maybe it's my pride. You know, I wasn't running around
pride,
being like, I can't make it to Hawksville. You know, and being a burden on somebody to help me get there.
Burden? Well, have you looked at the video yet? This isn't about burden. This is about a lot of people getting together, doing some really awesome things. And
sure, yeah.
It was awesome, man. And you should have came. You should have came. You had a ride, dude. Had a ride.
Nobody even told me I had a ride. That bothers me a little bit. I mean, I did have a gig on Saturday. But, you know, that probably with enough notice, I probably could have told the guys, let's pass on that. I got a weekend that I'm going down to.
2 weeks ago, maybe you should read your email. We had you a ride.
Man. Well, if I got a message I missed, then I'm very thankful and very sorry that I couldn't make it.
I had some amazing people. I had two people show up to the party, Eric and Samantha, out of New Jersey, and they literally are 9 miles from you. And he said he tried to get you to come, and you didn't want to come.
Really? Me? Nobody had any kind of a real-time conversation with me that I can remember that seemed to make any sense. Like, I mean, I'm a pretty busy guy, but I think I would have remembered.
I mean, we're talking about low tech people.
Well, low tech people should. I'm just saying, like,
no, low tech people should not do anything. Actually, low tech people is more than what we need. But Eric did send you an email. I don't know if you ever found it, but he said if you need a ride, I got it.
Man, I must have. You know what? Maybe my Yahoo dumped it in my spam and I never got it, or because I didn't recognize the person, I thought it was a spam that got through to my regular email and I didn't see any subject that caught my attention.
Okay, well, listen, here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Here's what we're doing. next year, first weekend in September.
Yes.
We are doing a revolution. This has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my birthday party. We're doing a Revolution Radio, blow it up, right here on my property. I'm setting up a double hay wagon stage in the circle in front of my house, and we're going to have a good old time. So if you ain't here, and I guarantee you I can get you here. So if you turn it down.
I will be there, and I will tell my girlfriend that she should come too.
There you go. And if any crazy, crazy, weird people, if you don't want to camp out, though, you better find a motel.
Oh, I'll camp out. I will camp out. I will figure out how to make my girlfriend comfortable with camping.
Me and Danny were just kind of discussing it in a minute. And we're gonna mow down a lot of areas. I have a couple of security lights and all that kind of stuff. But we're gonna rock it, man. Next year, you know, I feel comfortable now because I know I will have a core group that will show up that will protect me. But anyway, and we're going to rock it, man. So let's do it. Going from there.
Yeah.
18 months. We have 18 months to get ready to do this. But anyway, rock and roll. Hey, carry on, Steve. And where the hell is Sean?
Sean's here. Sean just got here now. He was running late. And now
so there you go. So we had an amazing weekend. I mean, I cannot even express how an amazing weekend this has been. And just how amazing all the people that came. You know, I'm used to dealing with musicians, and usually musicians are like standing around going, "Hey, why aren't you making things better?" But I am never, can you imagine? I got a letter. An email from the Federal Park Service just commending us on how we actually made the campsites that I rented better than where they were when, because Jer Bear and Mona went around and picked up every piece of trash, every piece of freaking cigarette that had been left there since 1972 and made it work. You know, made that work. So anyway, I'm going to drop out of here. Y'all rock up.
All right. Thanks, Hawk.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Nighthawk. So yep. It sounds like the party was a big success.
It was an incredible success.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Honestly, it isn't about me. It was about the people that came. You know, I was sick a lot, Saturday, but, you know, and my wife. I have never seen my wife so freaking relaxed in my life, and that was worth everything to me. Nice. So anyway, y'all go do your thing. Talk to you later.
All right, great. So, big success. That's all. I did. I figured Rand Paul would at least show up. But
he should have. Yeah, right.
There it is. It's great. Well, sorry, I was a little bit late. I was right in the middle of a gigantic fight between cannibal hobos and Viagra cavemen zombies. It's tough when you're right in the middle because you don't know who to side with. Really, I don't know the. The Viagra caveman zombies they're an interesting bunch, but I finally sided in the end with the cannibal hobos just because, you know, I was hungry too. So anyway, welcome everybody. How you doing, Even Steven? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty good. I had a lot of activities that that I was doing regardless of the party. Hawk had spent the last hour talking about the party, but then I was talking about what I heard Hawk talking about in the party, and because I said I couldn't. I was talking about how I was upset I couldn't make it, and then he came on and told me that apparently somebody had procured me a whole means to get to Kentucky for the weekend like 2-3 weeks ago, and I never got the contact, and it or somehow I completely missed the offer, you know, when I had gotten the contact or something happened and I passed it up, and I thank the people who made that offer, and I accept the offer for the 18 month from now event coming.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds epic, but it's going to happen in 18 months, right?
In about 18 months, he's making another, he's going to make another thing that's going to be done a slightly different time frame, not necessarily his birthday. It's going to be a bigger... slightly more organized event based on that. Like, I don't know any details just yet because it's in its early inceptions now, but it's a sure thing.
Okay, but you can't give any more details as to, other than it's a thing that's bigger than the last thing.
I've told you pretty much everything that I recall Hawk had just said about it in the last half hour before Deacon's show ended. So.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, that's all good. My weekend not as exciting. It's I actually went to go see on Saturday night at the Orange County Fair, and love the fair. Love getting out of the fair. Love all the weird, creepy stuff they make you eat at the fair. Everything from if it can be dipped in lard and fried. There's chocolate covered bacon. There's fried Twinkies. There's a deep fried Krispy Kreme cheeseburger that actually has on the front of the cart has a nurse, a sexy nurse with a pair of defibrillator paddles, and which I was commenting. You ever notice that everything that can save your life is always behind glass? You ever notice that you got to break the glass that it's either a fire hose, break the glass, an axe to break through a door if something's burning on fire, glass, defibrillator. Glass. Of course, after watching this much House, literally, I think 100 episodes of House, for some weird reason, I got into like the House-averse. I have no idea. I've seen the show before, and I just got into watching House because there was just nothing else to watch while I was, because I'm working on scripts and I'm reading other books and we're doing a lot of other things, and then just in my spare time because nothing else on TV. I was also watching a show called Continuum, which is a show about a lady cop from the future who has a weird jumpsuit that bullets bounce off of and can make her invisible, and she can set something on the sleeve to electrocute people. And I just wish there was a setting on the sleeve where she could pull it up and actually make her a better actress. It was like, to go from like UCLA School of Drama to, oh, I don't know, Stella Adler, Actors Theater or something. I wish there was something along that line that you could actually make her better other than the same face that she makes the whole time. She seriously went to the Gillian Anderson School of Acting. And Gillian Anderson, I don't have anything against Gillian Anderson. She was good for her time in X-Files, but it's interesting. And then on Saturday night, and I just realized either how old I'm getting or that I somehow have the ability to bend time somehow, because I went to go see Jeff Foxworthy on Saturday night. You might think you're a redneck. And, he's okay, I guess. I mean, he's not my favorite comedian. But I had to – now I realize that as comedians get older, obviously they use material from their own lives. And I kid you not, kids, instead of – you might be a redneck and all this other stuff. And the stuff about his family was actually very funny because his wife's from Louisiana. And he's from, I don't know, God knows where, Tennessee or something like that. But, I had to listen to a 35-minute country, down-home, homespun – fireside homily for 35 minutes about him getting a colonoscopy, which it's just okay. And
you should have gone to see Ron White, man.
I've seen Ron, unfortunately, Ron White, like, I think he scares my wife, so because I think Ron White is like
that's how you know he's doing something right.
Yeah, that he actually frightens my wife. She's like, he's scary, and I think that's because he's like she grew up Mormon, so she didn't have drunk uncles, but I think even without the alcohol, her uncles were already pretty scary. But Ron White's funny. He's, he's funny. He's that whole blue collar comedy guy thing. And I actually think Larry the Cable Guy is pretty funny too, especially when he does the songs at the end. He's done some stuff that just breaks me up. So I don't know. It was okay. It was nice. With Jeff Foxworthy, you get what you get what you pay for. That's about it. And there's nobody good coming to the fair this year at all. I mean, there's like there are cover bands. There's like Fab Four and I don't know which one's Pink. And I mean, they're all the bands that we have in Hermosa Beach on the weekend of the Fiesta de la Hermosa, which is actually Labor Day, which ends the summer, and then of course Memorial Day, which kicks off the summer. So we have a huge fair here in Hermosa Beach out of the plaza that like 100,000 people come to. The Inlanders just flood us, and and all the bands that usually come there on the weekends are all down at the OC Fair. So that's about it. But we go to the OC Fair actually I should totally pump this on air, because there's a kind of glue that is the last glue you will ever need. And there's kind of a big fat Texas guy there, who sells this glue. That's amazing. That's just that as long as you can get an airtight bond and whatever it is, you can glue anything together. You can glue a dog to your grandma. I had a I had a radio trophy award somewhere from way back in the days from Talk Radio Network. Oh my goodness. Talk Radio Network, where I actually had 450 affiliates nationwide, and Talk Radio Network decided they just didn't want to pay their DJs, which is weird. No, it's not weird. They were not nice people, but, and it broke. It was glass and it was on metal somehow. And, I actually managed to glue these two things together. And I had a beef with Oakley sunglasses, because Oakley sunglasses, I had a gorgeous pair of, and sunglasses are very important when you live in Southern California, because it's sunny all the time. And if you don't have a good pair of sunglasses when you're driving, you're pretty much just done for. So sunglasses are not just to look cool and not just be out on the beach. If you don't have a decent pair of sunglasses with good optics when you're driving, you're a dead man on the freeways, is all I can tell you. So I had these absolutely gorgeous pair of what are called Oakley Juliettes. And you've seen these because they were the eyeglasses or the glasses that in his casual time, and I forget the actor's name, he's been in a million things, and he comes under the classification of forgettable handsome guy. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Forgettable handsome guy. Bradley Cooper comes in that same forgettable handsome guy, although he has actually expressed some personality in a few of his roles. And I still think the best thing he's ever going to do is going to be Rocket Raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy. But forgettable handsome guy, whatever it was. But these Oakley Juliettes were the sunglasses that Cyclops wore when he was off duty. It wasn't the visor, but when he was off duty at the school. And I actually had these. They're gold and silver, and they've got these iridium lenses on them, and they're just super cool. So they got loose, and the nose bridge of them got loose, and there was no way to fix them. So I sent them back to Oakley, and Oakley then charged me $64 to fix them and put new lenses in and the whole thing, and then mailed them back to my old address, where they were subsequently stolen and or thrown in the trash by my evil, diabolical, Luciferian, Mistopheles, Ozymandian landlord, Larry Fordiani, who looked like the devil. He looks like the devil. I wish I had a picture of the guy to put up online. Had the pointy chin. He was all hunched over. Had the beady little eyes. You put a tail and horns and paint this guy red, and he looks, I'm not kidding, he looks like the guy on the cover of the fireworks box. I'm not even kidding. Even the Mexican guys that were helping me move out of my place were like, oh, Señor Sean, he's El Diablo. Oh, and don't tell him not to look at me straight on in the eye. And oh, he will curse me. My children will come out looking like elephants. All right. So anyway, and they sent him back to the wrong address. So in an outrage, I said to Oakley, I need a new pair of glasses. So they said, okay, well, they're insured, so pick whatever you want off the site. So to make a long story endless, I picked the most expensive pair of sunglasses I could find. These are $500 Oakley Carbon Blades Ferrari, limited edition Ferraris. Limited edition Ferraris. And they have a little horse on the side. And so they mail me these things in a red leather box. I mean, it's got a case on them. They've got a bag on the inside. They come with their own cleaner. I mean, there's windshield wipers that come with these things. And unfortunately, the optics by Oakley are fantastic, but the actual Italian design is complete crap. And the first pair of these things I had for a week, and the lenses popped out on the frame, on the side of them. And there's no way to put them back in because they're not screwed in. So I mail them back to Oakley. I wait a month to get another pair back, and I kid you not, within 2 days, these popped as well. So now you've got lenses just swinging off the carbon blade arm. So I took them to Tex, the glue guy. And he made a big thing about it. I mean, he got a crowd going, and he got up on the microphone, and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you right here, there's a $500 pair of Oakley sunglasses right here, $500 pair. Look at these. Look at the cheap construction on these things. That just goes to show you got good old American know-how. Good old American know-how here with Oakley lenses. But this Italian stuff, I'm telling you. I had a Fiat once, feeble Italian attempt at transportation. Fix it again, Tony. I don't know what them Italians are thinking when they're trying to fix things. Let me show you this glue right here. The last glue you'll ever need. So he puts the glue on this, and then he puts an aluminum sulfide, some kind of powder as well, to actually fill in the gaps on this. And I tried doing this with this glue and wound up gluing my fingers to the sunglasses, and then to my pants, and then to the inside of my thigh, and then to one of my cats. And I was like that for a week before I actually figured out there was a solvent, which was very weird going to sleep with a cat on the inside of your thigh. It's kind of a strange decision. Anyway, so he finally fixes them. And I also, by the way, I tried pressing it together with a paper towel, And because it's wood, it adheres to the paper towel. So there's literally like toilet paper coming off the side of the side of my lens as well. Took all those off, fixed them, boom, sold probably like, you know, 10 more kits of this glue. And then of course you go to the fair, you get like nuts and pistachios, and then you get salsa. And my wife wanted wanted some kind of steamer thing or something that was for the floors. For her, that's the greatest thing ever. I know that sounds weird. Women like jewelry or necklaces or earrings or whatever. My wife is like, nope, give me the Bissell carpet cleaner. Give me the thing that polishes the floors. Give me anything where I can do like housework stuff. There you go. Listen to that and weep, guys. Get yourself a wife like that. I don't think they make them. They make them in Utah and certain parts of Russia, I fear. Certain way up in the Urals somewhere in Russia. They used to make them in the Ukraine. I'm not so sure. Although I think you could probably get wives in the Ukraine pretty cheap right about now. I think they're being discounted. So there it is. Didn't have a chance to go into any movies. I still have not seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I wanted to go see Lucy. A friend of mine actually saw Lucy this weekend and said he liked it a lot. And that the movie was the critics are saying that the movie's too smart, that it's too esoteric. Of course, that's exactly what they said about Inception. And Inception became one of the biggest hits ever. So, but I still want to see Lucy. I still want to see. Why is it the only movie I seem to have seen recently is, what I saw in 3Ds was, you know, Transformers, Rise of the Nap Makers, whatever it is, because it just put me to sleep. 2.5 hours of clangy, 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 clangy. And I like fighting robots. Don't get me wrong, fighting robots. Again, it's not King Lear. But if you did King Lear with fighting robots, I think that would make King Lear a lot better. All right, I don't know how much time I have for a tirade here, but I was just talking about just what's going on in the world today. And also, oh, this is very strange. I just wanted to tell you that we had this is big news here. Yesterday, about 1:45 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I kid you not, suddenly out of nowhere, it was Hammer of Thor Thursday. And it sounded like the God of Thunder himself was banging on my roof with Mjolnir. It was, I'm not kidding. There was a cloud burst directly above my house. Now, it gets a little strange now because I have a power staff, if you will, named Merlin. And there are there are three other power staffs out there as well. But Merlin it was constructed by a trio of magicians, if you will, or should I say two other magicians. And I just so happened to turn Merlin on, and I was also thinking about getting rain and doing whatever, but I turned on the power staff. And the way you do this is Merlin is about a 2-foot crystal that has magnets in it, and it's wrapped a certain way. And it was made for me by a very old dear friend who sadly passed away about 2 years ago. And I'm talking about that because then suddenly there was a bolt of lightning that struck about 2 blocks away from us in Redondo Beach. And lightning that killed people in Venice as well, which does not bode well for what's about to happen, quite possibly in August. And we'll talk about that as we come up. Sean David Morton, once again, it's Viagra Cavemen Zombies versus Cannibal Hobos after this.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
In 2014 would be an amazing year of consciousness, revelation, and ascension for us all. Hi, this is Megan Bell. We at Peridyne are here to help you achieve all the goals that you have set for yourself and achieve the happiness and prosperity that you so richly deserve. That is why we are announcing a historic sale on all of our amazing jewelry, specifically the revolutionary Super Receptor Medallion. At Peridyne, we fine-tune the device to your personal frequency, choosing from 24 precious gemstones to bring your body into maximum harmony. Invented by my late contactee father, Dr. Fred Bell, this incredible ET technology is reputed to raise our vibrations, protecting and defending our bodies from the sea of EMF and radiation that we now swim in every day, activating your energy to its ultimate potential. See how this remarkable technology can help you, now at sale prices that you cannot afford to miss. Peridyne.com. Technology from the future for all of us.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Peridyne.com. That's P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Sands of Time, an epic story spanning 40 years in the life of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with time travel, Area 51,
the Dulce Missiles,
the Montauk Project,
the Shadow Government,
and Dr. Humphrey's meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful global organization engaged in a desperate race against time to save our world. At 17, Ted's father, a brilliant government scientist, disappears, and Ted makes it his life's mission to discover his father's fate. This leads to him being drafted into beyond top secret projects, making the most valuable machine ever built. A device that can move through space and time. As time tech is developed, Ted is taken inside an elite clandestine group of men dedicated to hiding a deadly truth that forces from beyond the stars could lead to Earth's destruction. Ted gets guidance from people further down and outside the time stream, never knowing who he can trust, while still seeking to solve his father's disappearance. Sands of Time is truly remarkable. A rare look behind the curtain of the black world of super technology, and shows us once again that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong.
And now, for the very first time, Sands of Time Volume 1 is now available in paperback for only $25. Read the book that Amazon ranked 5 stars. Also, in ebook and dynamic voice spoken word audio, all at Amazon or StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
Welcome back to Strange Universe Radio. Moon's in Leo today? It's somewhere in Leo. Is it in Leo? Yeah, where we are. No, it was in Leo. I'm sorry. It's moved into Scorpio. No, Virgo. What? Oh, I got my music all screwed up. All right. Well, whatever. There's Carly Simon. Now I have to change my whole music motif because it's in Virgo now. Because I was playing like vanity songs, but there it is. Adolf Hitler says, makes a lie big, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. Not exactly sure about the German translation, but In the words of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black, in the decision of Associated Press versus United States, quote, the First Amendment rests on the assumption that the widest possible dissemination of information from diverse and antagonistic sources is essential to the welfare of the public, that a free press is a condition of a free society. Freedom to publish means freedom for all and not for some. Freedom to publish is guaranteed by the Constitution, but freedom to combine to keep others from publishing is not. And this also has to do with, that decision has a great deal to do with what's going on with AT&T getting ready to buy DirecTV with Time Warner Cable and Comcast actually coming together. That's a warning to all of those out there about the protections of the First Amendment. Now, in 1945, which was when this decision was, this was page 326, U.S. Code 20. But in 1945, the nearly century-long propagandist reign of the Associated Press that had single-handedly manipulated the American public into 38 wars in 99 years finally came to an end when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that their monopolistic business model was unconstitutional. It's sort of ironic now because the Associated Press is one of the few out there, few media mouthpieces, if you will, of the MSL, the mainstream liars, of the mainstream liars that is relatively independent. You'll remember the woman that used to be the White House press secretary. I'm mentioning her and now I can't remember her name. But she was fairly independent also when the Associated Press actually in sports decided they weren't going to go along with the whole Bowl Championship Series deal. But in 1846, news had become a saleable commodity and five daily newspapers in New York City joined to share the cost of transmitting news of the Mexican-American War by boat, horse, express, and telegraph. Now, by 1945, AP had become the largest multinational nonprofit news agency in the world, owned by its member newspaper and radio outlets, and prohibited member newspapers from selling or providing news, whether that news was supplied by the AP or was authored by a member of the newspaper, called Spontaneous News, to non-member organizations, as well as making it very difficult for non-member newspapers to join them. So by 1965, the benefits to the American public of having been freed from AP's propaganda led to them finally knowing the truth about the Korean War, about them finally knowing the truth about the Vietnam War, about racial segregation, about the military-industrial congressional entertainment complex, the abuses of the CIA, governmental abuses against citizens, high-level government corruption, and so many critical issues. In fact, that by 1980, these people were by far the most informed society that the world had ever seen. And because of that, they elected Ronald Reagan. And by 1983, just 50 companies owned 90% of the media consumed by Americans. And by 2012, just 6 companies controlled that 90%. And that's true today. Actually, by 2014, it's 6. It might be down to 5 now, but if AT&T buys DirecTV and Comcast absorbs Time Warner. But according to testimony before the House U.S. Judiciary Committee examining Comcast's acquisition of NBC Universal last year. So this is a fact. This is in the congressional record. I have been saying this since the 1990s. That there are 6 people, there are 25,000 forms of communication in the United States. Newspapers, books, magazines, everything you see, everything you hear, everything you read, everything is owned by 6 people, except alternative news media like this. We're not owned by anybody. Hell, we're not sponsored by anybody except Paradigm. We got Paradigm and the support of you folks out there helping us get through this, your support. So in the 25 years from 1945 to 1980, between when the U.S. Supreme Court, in effect, supposedly destroyed AP and when Ronald Reagan was elected and began to restore them. It's no coincidence that the U.S. was only involved in two wars, Korea and Vietnam. And although both of these wars were costly in terms of lives and money, the American people were able to stop them because they were told the truth. It came to you every night in your living room. Walter Cronkite, for example, was a good friend of our family. Whenever Uncle Walter was in town, we would usually go out to dinner with him, go to lunch. I'd pick him up from the airport. Strangely enough, we'd take him out on our boat. My dad's boat, not our boat. But Walter Cronkite was a strange guy. Walter Cronkite, Walter Cronkite is the guy that lost us the Vietnam War. In Vietnam, by the way, in the entire course of the Vietnam War, the United States Armed Forces never lost a single battle. Not one. We did not lose a single battle. And when Daniel Ellsberg came out with something known as the Pentagon Papers, and by the way, the same laws that were in place then, which protected Daniel Ellsberg from the illegal search and seizures of the military, all of those laws have been revoked. And as a matter of fact, had Daniel Ellsberg done that today, he would have had to have fled the country to go someplace where freedom of speech and freedom of the press is actually respected, which, again, in this ironic multiverse that we live in, happens to now be Russia. He would now be Edward Snowden. But here's what the Pentagon Papers told us. You read all the Pentagon Papers by Daniel Ellsberg, and here's the point. You want me to boil them all down for you? The point of the Pentagon Papers was the United States military's job was no longer to win battles, was no longer to go into combat and win wars, as under MacArthur, as under Patton, as under some of the great generals in the Second World War. Their job now was to keep Vietnam going as long as possible, to fuel the military-industrial complex, and to make sure as many people died as possible. Nixon wanted to end the war when he got into office in 1969, and all he had to do was send bombers in to bomb the dikes and the various dams in North Vietnam, would have flooded the entire country, would have stopped their ability to go to war. And whether or not you agreed or disagreed with Vietnam, I remember my family disagreed with the war because we said either get the war over with, go in, win it, and come home, or pull everybody out. That it was our opinion on the, I don't know what you would call it, the conservative side of the spectrum, but let's call it the, quote, American side of the spectrum at that time, that all the people in Vietnam were not worth the life of one American soldier. It's true. And we should have bombed that country back into the Stone Age, grabbed them by the scruff of the neck, put their squinty little lives up to the treaty where they could have signed the X for their unconditional surrender, and then kicked them back in the ass in the hole that used to be their country. That's what we should have done with Vietnam. Instead, millions died. The United States just gave up and left, even though we never lost a single battle in Vietnam. Why? Because Walter Cronkite got on the TV at night and said, this war is lost. Really? And how does that work, Walter, exactly? This war is lost. We can't win this war. It's an unwinnable war. Even though we'd not lost a single engagement with the enemy. So in the 34 years from 1980 to today, to 2014, since Ronald Reagan was elected under the promise of less government, more personal responsibility, and with God's help, a better world, and the AP was restored, and their owner members began their massive news information consolidation, the United States has now been involved in 11 wars. And by the way, let's throw Clear Channel in there as well, shall we? Not like I'm ever going to work for them. Let's throw Clear Channel in. Clear Channel, whether you know it or not, Clear Channel started out as a 5,000-watt whorehouse production somewhere in Waco, Texas. Somewhere in Waco, Texas. And what happened was is that the May family, who own it, got connected in with George Bush Sr. and Henry Kissinger. And they got brought on the board of Clear Channel. They all went to the Cayman Islands. And when they went to the Cayman Islands, they got involved with a group called the Trilateral Commission Trust. And the Trilateral Commission Trust specifically said, here you go, we're going to give you unlimited money. This was around the early part of the 90s because their plan was they needed to find a way to turn the country and make one of the Bushes president of the United States, either Jeb or GW. Jeb screwed up because he didn't win the primaries in Florida. GW did. GW ignored the advice of all of his advisors, went after it, smeared people, did everything that he needed to do, and supplanted, I think it was, I keep wanting to say it's Anne. It might be Anne Rice, but I know she's the vampire novelist. But she was the former governor of Texas. Woman with the white hair. Looked a lot like Barbara Bush. So he wins as governor. He becomes governor of Texas. Once again, you want to blame the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan and 9/11 on somebody? Here's what you blame it on. You blame it on Bud Selig. You know why? Because Bud Selig wouldn't let George Bush be the commissioner of baseball. If they just let him manage the Texas Rangers and let him be commissioner of baseball, which is what he wanted to be in the first place, we wouldn't have had George Bush as president of the United States. We never would have had Castro or 60 years of communism in Cuba if George Steinbrenner had just let Castro pitch for the Yankees. There you go. It's your second job you always get in trouble in. We got involved in 11 wars in that period of time. And what happened with Clear Channel was that Clear Channel was given like $1 billion. And they said, go buy everything. Go destroy, pillage, salt the earth. And they did. They bought everything. Everything in sight. They bought Rush Limbaugh. They bought Sean Hannity. They bought, who did they buy? Let me see. All the top people. They bought Dr. Laura. You remember Dr. Laura? Who went crazy one day and started yelling the N-word along with, raging against women who didn't stay home with their kids while she was on the radio all day. Of course, her son became a petty thief and a purse snatcher and a sexual deviant. And I think his punishment should have been, after they caught him stealing a purse, is that they should have put him in jail and probably wallpapered the walls of her cell with naked pictures of his mom. Because that got, the queen of moral certitude. So she was what, pro-conservative values, but did all these naked pictures. She was anti-gay. She was and railed about that on and on and on. So Dr. Laura was number one at one time. I remember listening to her going, how do women listen to this woman? Call them, sluts and slanerns and whores and how dare you not spend time with your kid when you're doing radio all day and your kid's a piece of crap. It gets a little weird. So they bought Dr. Laura. They bought Rush Limbaugh. They bought they bought Art Bell as well. They had to shut up Art Bell. And all of this stuff got to the point where Clear Channel owned 49% of everything, of all radio, all of it. And actually, they were going to buy Arbitron, which was the ratings system for rating talk radio, for rating radio, period. It was the Nielsen systems of radio. And finally, Michael Powell, son of Colin Powell, finally stepped in and said, no, 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 no. Somebody had to stop these guys. But in the course of this period of time, they then altered public perception in such a way to tell you that the 90s weren't good, because whether you know this or not, and I'm not giving Bill Clinton any credit for this whatsoever, but from 1991, probably thanks to what Ronald Reagan did with the collapse of the Berlin Wall and the collapse of the Soviet Empire, and then quite possibly, I'm not saying Desert Storm had anything to do with it, but from 1991 until 2001, in a 10-year period, was the longest extended period of peace and prosperity in human history. You can look it up if you like. There was not a single war between two countries, with the exception of the wars, the short-lived civil conflicts in Rwanda and Burundi, and Bosnia, Serbia, Herzegovina, which is, by the way, the same civil war that's been going on for 100 years. In 1896, I think you had, McKinley? Yeah, I think it was McKinley. He was the one that actually sent McKinley, 1896, or McKinley was 1901. He sent 30,000 U.S. troops to stop the civil war in Serbia, Bosnia, and Herzegovina. And 100 years later, Bill Clinton did the same thing, sent 30,000 troops in to stop the civil war and the ethnic cleansing in Serbia, Bosnia, and Herzegovina. And the funny thing is, I've been to Sarajevo, I've been there. All these people look exactly alike. They just must wear different hats or something. Kill him. He has blue hat. Oh, he has red hat. Oh, he has pink hat. Kill that one. Green hats, team up with blue hats to kill pink hat. You wear a different hat from me. Your invisible friend is not as good as mine. So 11 wars in 34 years from 1980 to 2014, since Reagan was elected. Let me give you one other thing that Walter Cronkite was responsible for, even though he's a family friend. First off, he lost the Vietnam War for us by trying to convince Americans that the war was unwinnable, that it was completely lost, that South Vietnam does not deserve to be protected from the savage communists in the North, number one. And number two, and I said this a number of times on this program, when Ronald Reagan was going to make John Schmitz head of the John Birch Society in Orange County, a congressman for Orange County, was going to make him the vice president, his vice presidential candidate. And we now know that Reagan won by a landslide in both elections. But at that time, he was a point behind in the polls. And Cronkite bragged about him and Henry Kissinger going backstage at the Republican convention and telling Reagan, if you don't make George Bush your vice president, we will smear you in the press. We will do a Goldwater on you. We will make you look like the biggest warmonger to come down the pipe since Stalin. And Reagan fell for it. He hated Bush's guts. He campaigned against Bush in the primaries. He talked about how Bush was the last vestige of the left-wing Rockefeller establishment wing of the Republican Party. He banged on Bush about being a member of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. This is a presidential candidate talking about this stuff. And suddenly they're pals. And isn't it funny that 4 months later, a crazy man named John Hinckley, who has dinner with the family of the Bushes two nights before, then goes out and tries to kill the president of the United States. And by the way, was found not guilty by reason of insanity and has spent the rest of his life in a rather cushy mental institution in upstate New York and gets out and plays, goes and plays Frisbee on the weekends. But all these wars, mind you, don't even include the covert wars that have been kept from the American people that were fought by the CIA and which, according to the highest ranking CIA official ever to go public, John Stockwell. These secret wars that CIA fought had the cost in lives by 1987 of over 6 million people. But of the known wars caused by the United States over the past 168 years, from 1846 to 2014, these facts we do know. When the news is controlled by a small group, there is war. On the other hand, when the American people are allowed to know the truth, these wars are stopped and, more importantly, don't even begin. And the latest example of the American people stopping a war when they know the truth was last year when the United States attempted to start World War III by invading Syria. The official Obama regime story, which was spread by the Associated Press and by its members in support of the war, was that Syria had attacked their own citizens with poisonous gas, causing the death of hundreds, women, children. And these Obama regime lies were quickly exposed, not only by us, by Strange Universe Radio, by Revolution-Radio, by freedomslips.com, where we're the hammers and we're the nails, which means we hit ourselves in the head all day. Why are you hitting yourself? But by many other new independent news sources out there. Most importantly, the highest esteemed Pulitzer Prize-winning American writer, Seymour Hersh. And Seymour Hersh was the one that said, I can't believe that the American people fell for the story about Osama bin Laden. Seymour Hersh said that. And who just prior to the planned war wrote, quote, this is Seymour Hersh now, British intelligence had obtained a sample of the sarin gas that was used in the August 21st attack. An analysis demonstrated that the gas used didn't match the batches known to exist in the Syrian army chemical weapons arsenal. The message that the case against Syria wouldn't hold up was quickly relayed to the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the British report heightened doubts inside the Pentagon. The Joint Chiefs were already preparing to warn Obama that his plans for a far-reaching bomb and missile attack on Syria's infrastructure could lead to a wider war in the Middle East, because then we'd be going up against the Russians. Then we'd be going up against an actual army. Now we're not the bully in the back alley pushing Ralphie around for his lunch money. Because we haven't, I don't think ever since March of 2003, we haven't actually fought an army. We fought women and children and guys in turbans with rocks and sticks. Now, even though not one single mainstream American or British media outlet reported Seymour Hersh's critically important article telling the truth about what happened, nor have they ever reported actually in mainstream press here, Seymour Hersh talking about the ridiculous charade that was the supposed hunting down and assassination or murder execution of Osama bin Laden. We did here. We did. And with enough of you passing these truths along, pretty soon a critical mass of people began to know what was really going on and the truth, and this war was stopped. And now they're at it again, and the stakes are even higher, because the Obama regime's story this time is that Russia is responsible for the downing of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 over the Ukraine. And of course, and just like Syria, there's no proof, there's no evidence being offered, even though Russia has turned over enough intelligence to prove that the Ukrainian government, along with the CIA, was responsible. And not one single mainstream U.S. or British news outlet is willing to report it. They're not willing to tell you either that it quite possibly was the Canadians that shut it down. That'd be a funny black box, right?
Got two MiG fighters, Hornets, Super Hornets coming up on. Oh, A, sorry, A.
Now, at this point, as we've educated you all as much as possible over the past, well, on my show, I don't know how long have I been doing this, 3 years now? It's important to remember what this planned war that the Obama regime and its allies want. And most simply put, they want the total destruction of Russia. Vladimir Putin has put himself firmly in the way of the plans for a single pole world, if you will, in the plans for the New World Order being carried out by the what is fast becoming the totalitarian corporation that we know of as the United States of America Incorporated. And as to why these Western forces want to destroy Russia, its most simplistic explanation is that with Moscow rapidly moving away from the U.S. dollar, that if it should succeed, the entire fantasy known as the Western global economic system is going to collapse. And how soon this war will start can be seen in the propaganda flowing from the Obama regime and its supporters, because they want it now. Standing against them is you, but only if you continue to support those who, like us, keep telling you the truth. And all this year, we've proved the power of truth in stopping the lies of war. But if you don't support us before that, it could happen again. So here we are again, you needing the truth to prevent war and us able to give you the truth. Once again, support us as fellow Americans on Revolution Radio and Strange Universe Radio. This is Sean David Morton. Gods and angels look down from on high. We'll be back in a few beats of your heart.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Enjoy your extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another? Extra big-ass fries.
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No, no!
I'm sorry you had
come
trouble.
Come on!
I'm
my kids
sorry
are starving!
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What we do in life, it goes in eternity.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Sands of Time, an epic story spanning 40 years in the life of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with time travel, Area 51,
the Dulcan Missile,
the Montauk Project,
the Shadow Government,
and Dr. Humphrey's meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful global organization engaged in a desperate race against time to save our world. At 17, Ted's father, a brilliant government scientist, disappears, and Ted makes it his life's mission to discover his father's fate. This leads to him being drafted into beyond top-secret projects, making the most valuable machine ever built, a device that can move through space and time. As time tech is developed, Ted is taken inside an elite, clandestine group of men dedicated to hiding a deadly truth that forces from beyond the stars could lead to Earth's destruction. Ted gets guidance from people further down and outside the time stream, never knowing who he can trust, while still seeking to solve his father's disappearance. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare look behind the curtain of the black world of super technology, and shows us, once again, that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong.
And now, for the very first time, Sands of Time, Volume 1, is now available in paperback for only $25. Read the book that Amazon ranked 5 stars. Also, in ebook and dynamic voice spoken word audio, all at Amazon or StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look. Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
My name is Megan Bell. My father, Dr. Fred Bell, was one of the greatest scientific minds of this age. He was a prolific writer, inventor, and extraterrestrial contactee. When my father tragically passed away, many thought that his incredible scientific work would be lost forever. But I have picked up the torch and reignited his Promethean flame. We now bring you the all-new Pyridyne, based on the powerful fields created by pyramids and hyper-advanced Pleiadian and Andromedan technology. We offer jewelry, pendants, and scalar wave-based pyramid systems that bring protection from all the dangerous, harmful fields and energies that modern civilization bombards us with every day. All this combined with a line of vitamins and nutrient formulas that bring you raised levels of health, awareness, and closer to the ascension frequency of our new age. I joyfully invite you to join us on our website and find out more information for yourself.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Pyridyne.com. That's Pyridyne.
These guys are hammers, and to hammers everything looks like nails.
I heard that.
You were meant to. So you see something that's important, you call it out, and we'll make it happen.
Okay. Mother Nature is a serial killer. No one's better, more creative. Like all serial killers, she can't help the urge to want to get caught. What good are all those brilliant crimes if no one takes the credit? So she leaves crumbs. Now the hard part is seeing the crumbs for the clues they are. Sometimes the thing you thought was the most brutal aspect turns out to be the chink in its armor, and she loves disguising her weaknesses as strengths.
If you can fight, fight.
Head north if you can. Hello? Is there anyone out there hearing this?
Help each other.
Mexico City has been declared. Make noise.
Be prepared for anything. Our war has just begun.
We are the hammers, and we are the nails. The world stands upon the precipice of total insanity. And we need you, and we hope you need us, bringing information, news, and as much truth as we can eke out before Mother Nature turns us to crumbs. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, working to become millions of voices singing in unison to bring the sanity back home.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is Lorian Fenton from the Fenton Perspective. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now we take you back to Strange Universe with your host, Sean David Morton.
Talks like June.
And there's Train Drops of Jupiter. There you go. That's a Virgo song for you. See, I had all these vanity songs lined up for Leo. But there's a Virgo song for you. Drops of Jupiter. One of the great songs by Train. Let's see what our buddy Benjamin Fulford is up for. Ben is about ready to go on his month break. And he just takes a, well, you know, like most Europeans. all Europe is off on vacation. They get 6 weeks paid vacation in Europe. 6 weeks paid vacation to go do whatever they want. So they shut Europe down. In France, by the way, everybody flees to the countryside. So when you go to Paris this time of year, it's nothing but Americans. It's you can't find anybody who even speaks French. It's funny. And but the last 2 weeks of July and then all through August, actually all the way through, I guess, what we would call Labor Day, they just shut Europe down. You know what happens? They all go to Disney World. All the Germans go to Disney World. All the Chinese come to Disneyland. We've had tons and tons and tons of Chinese at Disneyland. So he's not going to have a blog out until August 25th. So this is sort of his last big shot before he takes a month off. What happens if World War III happens, Ben? What are we going to do without you? Oh, hold on. Yes?
I was going to say, last time he took a month off, like some major stuff happened, he was forced to actually put out an article. Like, what?
Yeah,
he was. I remember showing you that. It's like, hey, look. Ben had to not be on vacation.
Yeah, they chained him to his desk and did that. The only other comment that I've had is about this is that we made the national news yesterday because we had a bolt of lightning hit about two blocks from my house in Redondo Beach. Actually, because we're right on the edge of Hermosa Beach and Redondo Beach when we're not in Nevada, as an example. So and then you had lightning actually strike. But the hammer of Thor, this cloud burst directly over my house. And then as it was moving north, these lightning bolts injured 14 people and killed two of them. I guess one was a scuba diver, and the lightning actually went, I guess it hit the tank on this guy's back. But I believe it killed two people and injured 14 more in Venice Beach. Thank goodness the lightning actually bounced off their bongs, because Venice Beach is the land that time forgot. Because the clock just stopped in Venice Beach at about 2:37 p.m. on a Thursday in 1967. But the lightning struck, as I said, about two blocks away from the house here. Now, that's a little weird. Let me give you my main earthquake theory here, that California is very unique in the fact that we are the Golden State. And, of course, they've taken all kinds of gold out of California, as opposed to Nevada, which is the Silver State, where you can actually see the difference, the change in the topography and the geography, actually, when you move into Nevada, where it looks much more silver than it is gold here in California. The thing about quartz, which is what gold grows in, is that quartz is what we call psychoreactive. And when I say psychoreactive, it means it retains heat, energy, and information, which is why it's used in computers, which is why it's used in watches, which is why it has a number of industrial applications. There's a piezoelectricity also that comes out of quartz. You take two pieces of quartz and smack them together, and they'll explode. They'll like a big lightning bolt will come out. So there's a piezoelectric kinetic energy that's also stored in quartz as well. So it's another reason why I always think that California, specifically the throat chakra of the world, which is downtown Los Angeles, which is this area, we represent, if you understand that the entire planet is a global mind, we represent, I guess, what you would call the superior anterior section of the back right-hand side of the brain, which thinks in terms of quantum time and where pictures, colors, images. It's where entertainment stories really come from. So I remember years ago, Timothy Leary speaking at USC, and I was on the speakers committee at USC, so I got to meet and become, not great friends, but at least acquaintances with Timothy Leary. And he talked about the global mind concept that always fascinated me and said, right here in Southern California, we are the center of the global collective consciousness. And it is very strange. I mean, right on 22nd Street in Hermosa Beach, as an example, I mean, you had Van Halen, you had the Beach Boys, you had surf style, surf culture, clothing that came from here. On the four quarters of Rosecrans Boulevard and Aviation, on one corner we went to the moon because it was TRW. On the other corner was Mattel, which was Hot Wheels and Barbie and all that. On the other corner was Xerox, which invented the personal computer, which was then stolen by Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. Don't everybody tell you that Gates and Jobs were these great pioneers. They stole everything from Xerox. Gates took it out the front door and Jobs took it out the back. And the famous conversation was exactly that between Jobs and Gates, when Jobs said to Gates that, nobody will buy your computers because they're pieces of crap. And Gates said, nobody cares. I'm going to build them fast. I'm going to build them cheap. And there it is. So we're in that creative area here. So having lightning strike literally here, it's interesting, but it worries me as well. It means that the piezoelectricity is actually building underneath Southern California, which could actually then rupture into a quake. Now, as I've predicted for many years, the big one that everybody's talking about happens during a heat wave, happens during a drought, happens when there's some kind of big international sporting event in Los Angeles. Now, I had thought it might have been the Olympics, maybe in 2016. Actually, the World Paralympics are actually going to be here. In 2016, they are talking about the possibility of relocating the Olympics to either London or maybe Los Angeles if Brazil, which has already broke from the World Cup, if Brazil can't get any of the Olympic venues together, which I don't think they will, there's already riots in the streets there for the billions of dollars that the Brazilians are going in the hole to build this stuff. Greece, for example, when they hosted the 2004 Olympics, they're still broke. And what, and the quake is called the Hermosa Quake in the future. It actually happens directly out in the center of the bay. Excuse me. Still got this cold. One of the reasons I was a little late is, hold on a second, is I went to Chinatown to try to get some Chinese herbs and some bugs and sticks to make into an awful tasting drink. Oh God. It tastes like you've ground something up that crawled, that died and then crawled upside, you know, crawled up inside something else that was dead and then died. That's what Chinese herbs taste like. So I was actually at the herbal doctor because I've had this pertussis, this whooping cough, and then the hundred day cough. And I just got to find a way to get rid of it. So that's what worried me about the lightning, is that myself and a couple of other psychic friends of mine, and I'll keep you abreast of this, have been talking about a very, very major event, some kind of earthquake or something, some kind of catastrophe here in Southern California in August, which just goes with our seasons. People don't think we have seasons in Southern California. We have seasons. We have drought season. We have flood season. We have fire season. We have earthquake season. We have riot season, and we have award season. That's where everybody who works here pats themselves on the back and tells them how great. We tell each other how great we are because we've done such a good job. All right, here's Ben Fulford. The Three-Legged Crow is an ancient Japanese secret society based in Kyoto, Japan. The legend has it that a crow with three legs guided the first inhabitants to the Japanese archipelago. For this reason, the three-legged crow is an important symbol in ancient Japanese Shinto. These are the Shinto Buddhists, by the way. Now, the leaders of this secret society cover their faces in black masks before giving orders to Yakuza gangsters, politicians, and others. In addition, people belonging to certain bloodlines associated with the Yatagarasu do not register their births with the government. They are also given a special education based on Tibetan Buddhism and esoteric Shinto. Now, this writer, Ben Fulford, was taken to a Yatagarasu initiation ceremony that used to be reserved only for emperors. The Japanese imperial family stopped attending these ceremonies after Japan became a colony in the Meiji era. Everybody participating in the ceremony dressed in pure white kimonos. Only the presiding Shinto priest wore purple with his white. This is interesting because purple is the color traditionally associated with Roman emperors and Egyptian pharaohs. The members of the Japanese imperial family that this writer has met claim to be of Egyptian origin. More about that later, but for now, let us return to the ceremony. The ceremony involved using a flint to create sparks while we chanted from an ancient text. The text was a set of basic social rules that the emperor was supposed to enforce against incest and other forms of social degeneration. While the chant was going on, I heard voices that spoke and said to me in ancient Japanese, quote, "You have no ancestors here. What have you come to do?" My answer was, "I am here to correct the bad things my ancestors did to your people." Now, some other people in the room reported seeing a bright white light. I experienced this. Others say they saw nothing but people chanting and bowing. Now, I'm sure I did not imagine what I experienced and believe the entities that contacted me accepted my answer. Now, while visiting the research institute where the ceremony took place, I was told that the family that ran the place had been hereditary teachers of ancient knowledge for thousands of years, and the teaching based on mandalas. And each mandala consists of many, many interconnected pictures and takes at least 2 years to learn. On a different occasion, I was invited to the Yatagarasu to speak at an event in Kyoto. When I got into the taxi at the Kyoto station taxi stand, I noticed the driver had a three-legged crow on his keychain. He said it was just a coincidence, Also, before going to Kyoto, I had been asked by somebody associated with the Soka Gakkai Buddhist sect to buy a traditional Japanese jacked with the symbol Makoto, which means sincere, honest, and from the heart. This was the symbol used by the Shinsen Gumi and the last group that fought against the colonization of Japan during the Meiya era. Now, the Soka Gakkai are behind the Kimoto Party within the ruling Japanese government coalition. Also, they control the Japanese police and have a large presence in the Japanese military. Now, they used to be linked to the Nichiren school of Buddhism that adapted some aspects of monotheism, such as helping the poor and the suffering, as part of an effort to defend Buddhism from Christianity. Another encounter I had with the Yatagaratsu came through contact with an elderly gentleman who resided in Inokashiri Park in Tokyo. He was a retired professor of evolution who chose to live in the park in order to be close to nature. He knew all the crows in the park and said they were divided into five tribes. He could recognize the leaders of each tribe. He also befriended and protected a crow that was not part of any tribe. He could also communicate with a kingfisher. He told me the bird was unable to find a bride and would be leaving soon in search of one. Shortly after he told me this, the bird stopped appearing in its usual spot. This sort of deep connection with the natural world and the ability to communicate with non-human beings is an essential part of the ancient knowledge of Shinto. Some make claims to be able to use eagles to see from great heights by telepathically accessing their minds. One person I met claims her aunt, who had just finished a nasty divorce, decided to kill her ex-husband by using an ancient curse. And for 2 months, she chanted a certain chant at a specific time. And on the appointed day, her uncle did, in fact, die. Other heirs to this tradition I have met claim the ability to see entities that most of us cannot see. These people who make these claims have yellow eyes, similar in color to the semi-precious stone tiger eye. It would be interesting to try to scientifically test some people and see if they have the ability to see parts of the electromagnetic spectrum that most of us cannot see. On a different occasion, I was invited to participate in a ceremony where they attempted to invoke the goddess Amaterasu. Now, Amaterasu Amaterasu Omikami is part of the Japanese myth cycle and also a major deity in the Shinto religion. She's a goddess of the sun, but also of the universe, and her name, it means shining in heaven, and the meaning of her whole name, Amaterasu Omikami, is the great August Kami, or the god who shines in the heaven. And it's the emperor of Japan is said to be a direct descendant of Amaterasu. So the participants all wore yellow paper headbands covered with some form of unknown writing and chanted. And at a certain point, I heard a female voice with a very peculiar accent saying she was too shy to physically manifest, but that she wished the Japanese people would be well-behaved. And again, while many people claim to have heard the voice, a friend of mine who was there heard nothing. Now, what is interesting about the Japanese royal family is that they claim to be Egyptian in origin, and they practice certain ceremonies to invoke entities much the same way as ancient European, Egyptian, Babylonian cults like the P2 Freemasons and Illuminati actually do. Now, the Japanese Shinto also carries out ceremonies of a sort that have gone extinct in ancient Egypt. For example, in ancient Egypt, gaudy shrines were kept inside the temples, and once a year they were taken out and paraded around before being returned to the temple. Now, this practice ended when the Persian Empire invaded Egypt and destroyed all of its shrines. The Japanese still carry out this ritual, but so do the Catholics. So it makes sense if you think about it. Egyptian pharaohs had many wives and many children, but only one could inherit the throne, and many a younger son must have embarked with a few hundred followers in an effort to found their own kingdom. So it appears some of them ended up in Japan, and they have kept alive ancient non-scientific magic technology since I have been trained in the scientific method. I would like very much to see rigorous scientific investigation of this. So there you go. So that's not a whole lot of earth-shaking stuff, more his personal spiritual beliefs, which is nice. It's nice to hear what Ben has to say. Yes?
Sean, there's only one thing that I really think can be said about that.
Okay.
in the alley. Scott Farkas staring out at us with his yellow... He had yellow eyes. So help me, God, yellow eyes.
There you go.
When he said yellow eyes, I said...
That's so funny. Great minds think alike. It's sort of feeble ones. But yeah, you're exactly right. The yellow eyes is very funny. That's very funny. Oh, God. All right, what else are we doing here? Let me see before I get us into other weird stuff here. Other things I wanted to... All right, our buddy Barack Obama is opening the gates of hell, as I'm sure you know. Once again, Congress and the Obama administration seem unable to act in the face of a major crisis, largely of their own making. The very real, although officially unspoken, fight over who can best appease the presumed interest of America's ever-growing bloc of Hispanic voters has taken first place ahead of U.S. economic and national security interests. And with only a few exceptions, those who say in no uncertain terms simply send them home, Democrats and Republicans alike, are stymied as to how to deal with this massive flood of illegal aliens, an invasion, actually, all unaccompanied, mostly unaccompanied youngsters now pouring in through the Rio Grande Valley in Texas. The latest in the continuing drama of illegal immigration, estimates range from 11 million to 30 million. Illegals already within our borders. And by the way, you make all them legal, and you look at that as, you know, what are they? They're basically just, you know, undocumented Democrats. Because hundreds of thousands are said to have crossed the border. And finally, Rick Perry is talking about sending 1,000 National Guard to finally stop the invasion of Texas. So we'll talk about that. We've got, actually, as we're coming around the mountain on the last stretch, we've got all kinds of really fun things, including the history of makeup. That sounds interesting. Sean David Morton, it's a marvelous Monday. Once again, it's Viagra Caveman Zombies versus Cannibal Hobos. That's stay tuned for part three of that, and we'll be back in a few beats of your heart.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution, revolution, radio. Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Would be an amazing year of consciousness, revelation, and ascension for us all. Hi, this is Megan Bell. We at Paradigm are here to help you achieve all the goals that you have set for yourself and achieve the happiness and prosperity that you so richly deserve. That is why we are announcing a historic sale on all of our amazing jewelry, specifically the Revolutionary Super Receptor Medallion. At Paradigm, we fine-tune the device to your personal frequency, choosing from 24 precious gemstones to bring your body into maximum harmony. Invented by my late contactee father, Dr. Fred Bell, this incredible ET technology is reputed to raise our vibrations, protecting and defending our bodies from the sea of EMF and radiation that we now swim in every day, activating your energy to its ultimate potential. See how this remarkable technology can help you, now at sale prices that you cannot afford to miss. Paradigm.com. Technology from the future for all of us.
A whole new world of power, health, and awareness is only a click away. Check out the remarkable devices and systems at Paradigm.com. That's P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
Sands of Time, an epic story spanning 40 years in the life of Dr. Ted Humphrey and his involvement with time travel, Area 51,
the Dulce Missile,
the Montauk Project,
the Shadow Government,
and Dr. Humphrey's meteoric rise to become head of an all-powerful global organization engaged in a desperate race against time to save our world. At 17, Ted's father, a brilliant government scientist, disappears, and Ted makes it his life's mission to discover his father's fate. This leads to him being drafted into beyond top secret projects, making the most valuable machine ever built, a device that can move through space and time. As time tech is developed, Ted is taken inside an elite clandestine group of men dedicated to hiding a deadly truth that forces from beyond the stars could lead to Earth's destruction. Ted gets guidance from people further down and outside the time stream, never knowing who he can trust, while still seeking to solve his father's disappearance. Sands of Time is truly remarkable, a rare look behind the curtain of the black world of super technology, and shows us, once again, that all we have come to accept as reality is wrong.
And now, for the very first time, Sands of Time, Volume 1, is now available in paperback for only $25. Read the book that Amazon ranked 5 stars. Also, in ebook and dynamic voice spoken word audio, all at Amazon or StrangeUniverseRadio.com.
Read this book and never be the same.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
Jerusalem Bells, Colin. It's Roman Catholic choirs playing. I'll be your mirror, your soul, your shield. I'll be your missionary in a foreign field. That's Coldplay. Perfect Virgo music, because it's got a lot of orchestration and it's puts you to sleep and it's kind of girly, just like Virgos. Very detail oriented. Anyway, CNN is now confirming whether or not you believe the Communist News Network or not. The MSL, the mainstream liars, are confirming that the black boxes now confirm that the Ukrainian plane was shot down. Says there was massive explosive decompression. Massive. All right. Well, let's cover that since this was just came across the wire. Now, after a lot of ranting and raving. On the from the trenches worldreport.com, an alternative media news source, on the slog by John Ward. This was posted today. New MH17 sensation. German experts point the finger at Ukrainian Air Force jets. Could also have been Canadians as well, who were also doing war games in that area. If you hear on the black box where they go, oh, sorry, eh? That's how you know it's Canadians. This is what a German pilot. This is what a German pilot cum air technology expert, Peter Heisenko, has just published
on the subject of the MH17 disaster. Here it comes. Quote, "The misfortune of the Malaysian MH017 is known to all. The flight recorder is in England and is being evaluated. What can come of this? Maybe more than you want to accept. If you look at the image of cockpit fragments, there's a picture that is certainly shocking. Entry and exit holes from bullets in the area of the cockpit. This is not speculation, but analysis of clear facts. The cockpit shows clear evidence of bullet holes. You can see the entry holes and some of the exit points. The edges of the bullet holes are bent inwards. These are much smaller and round in shape, a 30 millimeter caliber. The exit holes are less well formed and the edges are torn outwards. Furthermore, it is visible that the exit holes have torn the double aluminum skin and bent it outwards. That is to say, splinters from inside the cockpit blew through the outside of the cabin." Once again, remember the black box was saying massive decompression. "The open rivets have been bent outwards. There is only one conclusion one can make, and that is this. The aircraft was not, repeat, not hit by a missile. The aircraft was not hit by a missile. The damage to the aircraft is exclusively in the cockpit area. Now, Russia has published radar data that a Ukrainian Su-25 was close to MH-017, and this corresponds with Spanish air traffic control that two Ukrainian fighter aircraft were in direct contact with MH-017. Examine the weaponry of the Su-25. It is fitted out with a 30 millimeter cannon type GSCH-302/AO-17A with 250 rounds of splintering, exploding bullets on a belt. So these are shrapnel rounds. The cockpit of the MH-017 was hit from two sides, as there are entry and exit holes on the same side." Very compelling stuff, is it not? Now, there is a German article by defense expert Bernd Biedermann who offers equally sound reasons why the shooting down could not have been from a surface-to-air missile, where he says, this is Bernd Biedermann, "The shooting down of the Malaysian Boeing on July 17th in the eastern Ukraine, quote, could not have been hit by a surface-to-air defense missile, unquote. This is the assessment of retired Colonel Bernd Biedermann in an article for the daily newspaper published in Berlin called New Germany, the Thursday edition. Had splinters from a surface-to-air missile hit the plane, it would have immediately caught fire, argues the NVA anti-aircraft missile specialist. His reasoning is because of the enormous frictional heat that the splinters generate on penetrating the fuselage. A single splinter contains the same kinetic energy as a 40-ton freight car hitting the buffers at 60 kilometers per hour. In the case of the Malaysian Boeing, scattered fires had broken out after the impact with the ground because hot debris from the aircraft had come in contact with combustible materials. Biedermann is familiar with Soviet and Russian air defense technology. He led units in the duty officer system in East Germany and taught at the military academy in the field of anti-aircraft missile troops. Articles are beginning to appear across the web to the effect that Angela Merkel is disturbed by and growing tired of the incessant U.S. propaganda being admitted in favor of its energy agenda, and so we must perhaps in turn view these articles in the light of her alleged new agency agenda concerning the creation of an alternative bloc to that of America. More on this in the near future. But spin or not, these analysts make sense. The U.S. State Department has now shifted its position from Russian atrocity to tragic accident. That's thanks to us in the mainstream media. That's the people, the mainstream liars, wanted war with Russia, wanted to pin it on Russia. But there is now enough information coming out from people like us in the alternative media, the truth tellers, that have forced them to change their tune. The above operations suggest that neither are true. They suggest strongly that the Ukrainian Air Force or allies of the Ukrainian Air Force took out MH-17. good possibility once again that it could have been Canadian Super Hornets that were actually training in that area with the Ukrainians, which would have been interesting. All right, a couple of interesting things in the last few moments we have left here. For example, people may lie around panting during the dog days. I've talked about this quite a bit, but the dog days of summer, but that's not how that chunk of time got its name. To the ancient Romans, the dog days covered the period of time when the dog star Sirius, which is brightest in the night sky, rose with the sun. It happens from July 3rd to August 11th. Sirius is in the constellation of Canis Major, or the Great Dog. Kind of interesting, the word infracaninophile. An infracaninophile, infra means below, canio means dog, file means lover. Writer Christopher Morley coined this term, meaning a person who sticks up for the underdog, when writing about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. An infracaninophile. Actually, there's a bunch of words that trace back to our faithful canine companions. Wheedle, which actually comes from the German Wedlin for tail wagging. A cute dog can wheedle its way out of anything with the right wag. Fawn as in to fawn over, is related to an old English word which means to rejoice, but the earliest uses of the verb refer to dogs wagging their tails. When a dog is fawning over you, you can't miss it. This is funny. The ancient Romans called the Canary Islands Insula Canaria, island of the dogs, either because of the large dogs they found there or the seals they mistook for dogs. Much later, the little birds, little yellow birds of the islands came to be called canaries, which is weird because canaries means flying dogs. Feisty comes from feist, which is a word for a small, excitable mutt. Feist actually goes back to feast, a word that meant to break wind, to feast in someone's face, to break wind. It got associated with dogs through the old popular English insult, fisting cur, which actually means calling somebody a farting dog, which I think is funny. Oh, my wife is always debating as to whether or not she needs to put on makeup. And some girls hate makeup, and some days they just go au naturel. I don't know. Are you just too lazy, or should you glam up every day? I don't know. Well, I think if your friends are telling you to get a glam up every day and put makeup on, you should tell your friend to shut her raspberry glaze decorated trap. Dolling up is your decision, but when you do wear makeup, be thankful that you don't have to primp and preen the way people did in centuries past. Thoughtful throughout history, beauty has been an ugly business. I don't know if you know this or not, but humans have smeared pretty much any animal part you can think of on their faces in the name of beauty. In ancient Rome, crocodile and swan fat were used as wrinkle removers. A type of whale feces, which is called ambergris, was actually used in perfume. Until remarkably recently, Queen Nefertiti of Egypt allegedly used coagulated blood as fingernail polish. Not like she didn't have enough slaves to get the blood out of, but so if you're not, are you not repulsed enough yet? Allow me to recommend the most popular skin cleanser of the 1600s, which was, you ready for this? The most popular skin cleanser in England in the 1600s was puppy urine. Puppy urine. Just grab a puppy and squeeze it. Geishas in Japan massage their skin with cream made of nightingale excrement. And if you were a married woman, on the other hand, you generally blackened your teeth with dye made from iron fillings. I guess not having teeth was a kind of one of those weird prisony sort of fellatio things. Oftentimes, if your makeup wasn't making you gag, it was slowly killing you. In 16th century England, men could not resist a deathly pallor. So there's a lot of necrophilia, I guess, in that period of time. So women, including, by the way, Elizabeth I, would whiten their skin with something called ceruse, which is a mixture of vinegar and lead. Side effects included super sexy hair loss and extremely sexy muscle paralysis. Spain in the 1600s was just as fun. Girls there ate clay to whiten their skin, which gave them anemia. Lip rouge in the 19th century had such delicious ingredients as arsenic and mercury, and the first waterproof mascara in the 1930s was made with turpentine, giving ladies those swollen eyelids that just no man can resist. And if you think applying foundation today is time-consuming, remember that at least you've never had to undergo a biblical makeover. Here's how they did it in the Bible. In the book of Esther, ladies who wanted a date with King Xerxes of Persia, remember they had to sneak in to go kill him, had to spend half a year being primped with myrrh oil and then half a year being bathed with perfume and spices. Now, presumably, Xerxes was in the living room before he went out and, I guess, killed the Spartans, I guess. But was he sitting in the living room for 10 months checking his sundial going, you're going to be much longer? I have to go crush the 300 at the Battle of Thermopylae. And while carrying lipstick can certainly be a pain, at least you don't need a box of fake facial moles. In the days of Louis XV, when beauty marks were considered especially beautiful, women toted around what they called the patch box, which was filled with black gummed taffeta shaped like circles, stars, crescents, yellow moons, green clovers, animals, insects, or silhouettes of people, which they wore on their faces. Basically, it was a box of Lucky Charms that you glued to your face. French women of that era also loved towering wigs and kept them in place with animal lard. They still wear them in Florida today. It's the original beehive. And probably because they called it that, but it was the only problem was that the lard that they made the wigs out of that they then stuck to their head, rats would make nests in their wigs, which is, I guess, where that comes from. So to be fair, the past wasn't all bad with regards to cosmetics. England's Parliament actually banned lipstick in 1770. They thought it was a form of witchcraft so anybody tells you you need to put your face on, that's, you know, that'll bag your meddling friend. Just tell him that's shouldn't do that. One other thing, if you're watching tennis, by the way, this year, tennis greats Maria Sharapova and Serena Williams are often picked on for grunting on the court. In 2012, there was even talk of monitoring decibel levels and penalizing players for excessive shrieks and yelps. But could all that noise-making serve a purpose? Short answer, yes. A University of Nebraska study found that grunting increases a ball's velocity by 4%, all without compromising a player's oxygen consumption, heart rate, or energy expenditure. A strong grunt apparently stabilizes the core, allowing energy force to travel through the arms. More importantly, grunters have an advantage because the noise masks the sound of the racket hitting the ball, making the return harder to anticipate. So while grunting might sound terrible, in terms of winning, it's actually sound advice. Oh, no, I just sound like him. I sound like James Mason, I guess. Once again, let's get to a couple of letters here. This is my friend Jeff from Lithuania. He says, "Dear Sean, I heard one or at most two people being injured or killed during freak electrical storms, but 11 times I watched the CNN covers of the Venice Beach massacre, and one young 20-something man who was struck described his experience and then said when he regained consciousness that he looked around and people were falling down all over the beach. Also, how does the Avalon golf course lie in relation to the secret submarine base off Santa Catalina? Someone was hit at the Avalon golf course as well." Okay, we have two top secret bases here. They're not so secret anymore, but I've been telling you guys where they were forever. There's a big top secret. There's an underwater city, basically, on the other side of Catalina. It's a big, I guess you'd call it an underwater UFO base. Years ago, we used to go out to an area called Portugee Bend, which is where Marineland used to be and is now a big Donald Trump condo development called Tariana, I think it is. If it's built by Donald Trump, it should be called Tyranny Anna. Yes, Tyranny Anna. Tyranny Anna Apartments were the
where the contracts, covenants, and agreements are basically written by Mussolini. So Tyranniana out there. But we used to go out there and you could see these blue discs moving under the water in the 26-mile channel between Portugal Bend and Catalina. So this big underwater subbase on the other side of Catalina. There's also one on the leeward side towards the bay of Malibu. There's a big underwater facility there that actually then leads into Port Magoo, Point Magoo and Port Hueneme on the other side of Ventura. Anyway, Joff writes, anyway, the Intelligence Directorate of the Foreign Media Department of the Foreign Ministry of the Kingdom of Agartha, that's an underground kingdom, wants the following talking points on Strange Universe on Monday, tonight, today. So I am bowing to the Telosians, the former Lemurians, who rule the underworld city of Agartha. Here's what they demand, according to my friend Jeff from Lithuania. Number one, Venice Beach electrical storm. Try to use the word sentient in relation to this story. It looked like a sentient storm to me. It looked like it was going after people. Again, I think the lightning bolts bounced off their bongs, or they were so drugged out they didn't notice when the lightning hit them. Number two, something about a large sinking ship. Doesn't matter which one, but it has to be not in passing, but emphasized or set off from the general spiel somehow. Okay, a large sinking ship. Huh. Was the Titanic really switched at the end for the Olympia? And did the Titanic become the Olympia and the original Olympia cracked its hull and so there was switched at the last minute by J.P. Morgan, who owned White Star Lines? There you go. There's a sinking ship. Number three, Wailing Wall. Al Quid's Dome of the Rock, probably in the wrong place, see Samaritans and their temple. Number four, sharks in the Arctic, specifically the Greenland shark. Okay. Number five, the icebreaker gap. Canada has none operational. U.S. has one or two. Maybe Russia has an entire fleet ready to service the Arctic. Sovereignty claims depend on actually being able to reach the territory you claim. Talk about the river lake monsters of Iceland. Don't know too much about them. I know they're supposed to have the best-looking women on the planet. And some other stuff to make the list 10 items long. All right, Joel, there we go. Oh, okay, well, let me see. I got a couple of other things here. Of course. By the way, there's a new way. There's a new news radio rebooted. Discover a smart and effortless way to listen to your smartphone. It's on the Apple App Store, and you can use it to listen to this program. And it's you can use it on Androids, Android Beta, or the Mac App Store. It's called Swell, S-W-E-L-L, Swell. Discover a smart and effortless way to listen on your smartphone. There you go. So new ways to listen. Experience a continuous stream of good stuff. Swell manages your playlist, so you don't have to. Each time you swipe, a fresh track slides in and starts playing. Simple UI, what's trending, automatic learning, and search. So there you go. You can put StrangeUniverseRadio.com. You can put FreedomSlips.com, Revolution-Radio.com, all on the new Swell network. Now, we are currently supposed to be going through Cycle 24, which experts have claimed is supposed to be the most destructive solar cycle ever in the history of the sun. And in response to people thinking the sun is all figured out, the sun is now almost entirely dead. There's not a single thing going on in the sun. There's no sunspots. There's no nothing. It's just sitting there. There's no storms, no sunspots, nothing. Now, 2 years ago in 2012, when all these alignments were happening, the worst solar storm in two centuries tore through Earth's orbit. Luckily, the storm's path just missed the Earth. Now, this may have been the kill shot that Ed Dames has been talking about forever, but now scientists are shedding new light on the extreme solar event that did not make headlines but could have had a, quote, catastrophic effect. If it had hit, we would still be picking up the pieces, said Daniel Baker of the University of Colorado in a statement released by NASA just this week. The storm happened on July 23rd of 2012. But if it had taken place a week earlier, when the storm site was directly facing Earth, billions of tons of highly charged particles would have rained down on the planet, scientists said. And these particles, which travel in clouds of plasma called coronal mass ejections, or CMEs, would have reached Earth in about a day.
The resulting firestorm could have knocked out power for millions for months or years and caused more than $2 trillion in damage, scientists said. Now, while the 2012 storm didn't strike Earth, it did come into contact with the spacecraft Stereo A, and NASA said. And since the scientists have been researching whether a future galactic storm of the same magnitude is merely science fiction, it is not. Physicist Pete Riley, in a paper published in Space Weather in February, puts the odds of a solar storm hitting Earth in the next 10 years at 12%. The last solar storm that made a serious impact blacked out Quebec's power grid in 1989, and storms in October and November 2003 caused transformer failures in North America and Europe. The worst solar storm on record happened in 1859 and was observed by amateur astronomer Richard Carrington. Because the so-called Carrington event occurred before the electrical age, there wasn't a significant damage on Earth, but they're still calling it the Carrington event. A 2009 report by the National Academy of Sciences said another Carrington event today would be utterly debilitating. The loss of electricity would ripple across the social infrastructure, with water distribution affected within several hours, perishable foods and medications lost in 12 to 24 hours, loss of heating, air conditioning, sewage disposal, phone service, fuel resupply, and so on, the report said. We need to be prepared, Baker said. Solar storm missed Earth in 2012, but another could strike. Appeared. This all appeared on PBS News, by the way, so there you go. Got into that. All right, that's it. That's the show. Playing Hurt, as usual. I want to say all is one, life has purpose, God is love, what doesn't kill us makes us stranger, and I hope the bugs and sticks in the Chinese tea makes me better, because it's hard to do. God bless you. God bless Vespuccia. God bless our union, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tune in on Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon PST, and 8 p.m. in the UK for my weekly shows, Journeys Beyond, with myself, JP. I will be speaking to guests, taking call-ins, and speaking on many, many topics that revolve around the esoteric worlds behind the world that we see and hear. Tune in Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Also similar.